What a great joy it is to look out and to see your smiling faces and to welcome each and every one of you as we come together this day celebrating the gifts and the blessings that come to us from Almighty God. Let us open with these words from the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Let us continue to unite our hearts and our spirits as we worship Almighty God together.
Please stand for the call to worship. We have heard a prophet's cry.
We appointed ours.
We have heard a prophet's cry.
The realm of heaven is
ours. We have heard a prophet's cry.
Let us turn from our necks and follow the Lord.
We have heard a prophet's cry. Let us set our hearts and hopes on God. The hymn of praise is number 110, A Mighty Fortress is Our God.
Thank you.
Join in the opening prayer. We have heard it spoken that almighty power belongs to God, and that to God belongs steadfast love. So to this power we appeal, with this love we plead. We have floundered too long in shifting sands. We need a rock on which to stand. We have shivered too often through bone-chilling storms. We need a refuge where we might find warmth. For you alone we wait, O Lord. To you alone we pray, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
At this time, we are privileged once again to have baptism. I would invite you to turn in the front of your hymnals to page 39. That you might follow along and remember that when we get to the conclusion, that final paragraph, it is printed in our worship folders because of the actions of General Conference in 2008. I was just thinking and holding my breath. General Conference meets again this year, and we'll hold our breath that they don't make some more changes. And then we'll have to have another couple paragraphs. So I would invite Julie to come on up with her family. They tell me she's being a little pistol this morning. So we'll see. Looks can be deceiving. Ah, sweet, there's the smile. We'll see. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. And so on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, answer, I do. And do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
And will you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, answer, I do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided for herself to accept God's grace for her, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, answer, I will.
I will.
Oh my God. And what name is given to this child? Julie, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Here we go. It's all better. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may always be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me turn you around and see if that helps. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh. You have a binky? Thank you. Will this help?
Yes.
No, it's warm water.
Members of the household of God, I commend this child into your care and your love. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. Let's share together in our congregational response as printed in our worship folder. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And now may the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen.
Our scripture lesson today is Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and verse 10. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Please join me in our responsive reading on page 787 of your hymnal. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. On God rests my deliverance and my honor, my mighty rock, my refuge is God. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this. Power belongs to God.
We offer a warm welcome to all who are worshiping with us this morning, especially those who are visiting with us. As I am sharing our announcements, please complete the form in the red register pad in each pew and pass it to others in your pew, finally returning it toward the center aisle. If you notice that someone who normally sits near you is missing this morning, please give them a call this week and let them know they were missed. You may write any prayer requests on the cards in the attendance folders and place them in the holders at the ends of the pews so that our ushers can bring them to the pastor before the joys and concerns. The fruit ordered from the outreach committee can be picked up here at the church on Saturday, January 28th, this week, from 10 to 11 a.m. If you didn't get to order, there will be a few extra cases of grapefruit and oranges. Contact Debbie Weaver or the church office by Tuesday. Also, the outreach committee is looking for someone with a pickup truck to help transport the fruit from Harmony to our church on Friday evening. Contact Debbie Weaver or the church office if you can help. Thanks. We're also still looking for soup makers to make their famous soup for after services in January and February. If you would like to make a soup to help out, please contact Beverly McDonald and tell her which Sunday you would like to make soup. Each Sunday, we will offer several soups for sale at $3 each. A sign will be up telling you what kind of soup is for sale. The Good Grief Support Group will meet on Wednesday, February 1st at 7 p.m. If this will be the first time you are attending, please call the number printed in the bulletin to let them know you will be coming. There is no fee, and the support group is open to anyone in our church or community who has experienced the pain of death and needs help working through their grief and managing their loss. Also, the Bishop's Night in the Greensburg District will be held on Monday, January 30th, beginning at 6:30 p.m., with refreshments followed by Bishop Bickerton's presentation. The event will be held at the McMaster's United Methodist Church in Turtle Creek, PA. Pat Morris, conference treasurer, will also be joining the bishop for a separate breakout session for church treasurers. Both clergy and laity are urged to attend. The Greensburg District School for Lay Ministry Development will begin on February 26th. It will be held each Sunday through March 25th from 2 to 5 p.m. at Community United Methodist Church on Route 30 in Harrison City. Registration forms are on the half door by the office and must be returned to the district office no later than February 15th. You can also register online at the printed address. Also, there is someone in the congregation that needs a ride to a doctor's appointment this Wednesday morning. So if you'd be able to help out, please see Connie in the narthex after the service. The peace of Christ be with you. Please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
Good morning, everyone. How are you? Good? Tired? What do you mean, who said tired? Wouldn't Mom and Dad let you go to sleep last night? You had to babysit. Cool. Did you get paid?
No. Someone babysitted me.
Oh, somebody babysitted you.
Yeah, I'm not.
Did they sit on you all night?
No, I'm not old enough to babysit yet, but I would like to.
You would like to when you get older. You know, the American Red Cross has a babysitting class where you get certified, get a badge and a certificate and all kinds of things. Ooh, baby. Cool. Anybody ever go fishing? You caught two fish. What kind?
I don't know what kind.
How big?
I think it was a catfish.
No. What's that?
I think it was a...
Okay.
But we didn't eat it.
But you didn't eat it? Did you throw it back in?
Yeah.
Okay.
I only got five.
Five? That's pretty good. Sometimes you're only allowed five. Trout, you're only allowed five. You have to throw them back in then after five. Well, after four, you have to, yeah. Five also?
15?
Holy smokes. Ever go fishing and ever catch a thing?
Yes.
Well, that happens more often than not. Mm-hmm. Leanna would say, when I go fishing, she knows to cook dinner. When I go hunting, she is ready for whatever I bring home. I have better luck hunting than I do fishing. Yeah. Then do you clean them? No. Did you catch that story that was read earlier out of Jonah? What happened to him? You forget. Oh.
I eat fish.
Do you eat fish? What happens if a fish would swallow you? What happened to Jonah? He got swallowed by a fish.
A giant one?
A giant one. For 3 days he was in the belly.
I saw a giant fish on the newspaper.
Yep.
It was like
you know, when Jesus was calling his disciples, he saw some men and he said, "Hey, follow me." And they left everything. They left their fishing nets because they were fishermen. But you know what he told them? You are now going to fish for people. I know. I don't think I'd like a hook in my mouth, would you?
No.
No, that's not what he meant. But when we go fishing, we look for fish. And so Jesus was saying, you're now going to look for people and share God's love, God's grace, and God's forgiveness. And that's pretty special. And we are called to do that as well. Every day, God and Jesus call us to faithfully fish for him and share that good news with others. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord God, for this day we give you thanks. We pray for these boys and these girls, for their moms and their dads, their caregivers, their teachers, all of those that impact their lives every day. We pray that they might live and grow in wisdom and knowledge and stature. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I've got some bulletins for you here. And remember, we collect these cups of money, and that's going to be given to an agency. But last week, when you were done with the cups, you brought them back up here. I don't want you to do that, all right? In the very back, clear outside through those doors, there's like a bucket. Do you know what that looks like? That's where you dump it in there and then put your cups there. And then the ushers will bring it back up again. So will you help me pass out big cups? Little cups, and here I'll give you some bulletins here. Here you go, honey. Here you go.
Mercy.
Out of that time when we want to lift up our joys and our concerns for individuals and situations among us. You'll note that in the back of our worship folder, there's a multitude of names of individuals, our prayer list, for us to remember each day. It's a joy that, to the best of our knowledge, we don't have anyone that is in the hospital at this time. This morning at the early service, there was a name raised of Kathy Kelly, who has recently been diagnosed with cancer. So we will want to remember Kathy and her family. Yes.
May I ask for prayers for our granddaughter, Megan. 26 years ago, she was born a blue baby. She had heart surgery at the age of 2 days. And again, about 2 years later, now it's time for some more corrective action. Please pray for Megan.
Please pray for Megan, their grandchild. Let us continue now to unite our hearts and our spirits as we go to God in prayer. Our gracious and loving God, you are the one who was, who is, and who will forever be. And it indeed is just a closer walk with you. For we ask and pray, O God, that that might be granted for each and every one of us, that we might fully become that person that you have created us to be. That with our daily life, our living and our moving, that our lives might be intertwined with you. That they might also be intertwined with one another. For we know, Lord God, that you have gifted each and every one of us with gifts and talents from your Holy Spirit. And you desire for us to use those within the life of your church, within our daily lives and living, that we might bring honor and glory to you. Oh God, we know that our lives are not perfect. And we are grateful, O God, that you enable us to repent, to ask for forgiveness. You allow U-turns every day. And so, O God, for those moments and times in our lives when sin has either crept in unknowingly or even those times when we've boldly walked through sin's doors or invited it in, we pray, O God, that your grace and forgiveness might abound. We are reminded that you are loving, that you are slow to anger, that you are abounding in steadfast love. And so we ask and pray that your Spirit might rest upon us so that when we are faced with similar situations, that we might live according to your will, that we might be your faithful servants to the world, Oh God, we look around us. There are individuals that we know that need to experience your healing presence. All we need do is turn on the news or the TV or on the internet, and we see where there are those that are sick and homeless, where there is turmoil and hatred, where there is war and hunger. Oh God, we pray for the healings of your people, for the healings of the nations. For we pray for that moment in time when our heads and our hearts, our minds and our spirits might be united together through you. Oh God, we pray for the mission and ministry that you lay before each and every one of us. And pray that as Christ calls us, that we might use all that we are and all that we have to indeed go forth into the world. Continue, O God, to open doors, and may we continue to walk through them, that we might bring honor and glory to you. O God, it is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we ask and pray, as we share together in the prayer that Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings.
Sweet thee, sweet hour of prayer.
Inviting God, we are astounded at your grace that calls people like us to participate in your work of making Jesus' disciples here on earth. We have been caught in the net of your love and grace, and so released to turn our lives around, to trust fully in you, released into a whole new life to let you fish for others through us. As we bring our offerings to you today, we offer the way that we will live in all the relationships and events of our lives for you to use to share your good news. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let's hear these words of Scripture that come to us from Mark's Gospel this morning, beginning in the first chapter with verse 14. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. May God's blessing be upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we pray now that in these moments that we share together, that we might experience your presence, that it might comfort us from the activities of daily life and living those things past, present, and yet to come. And, O God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we ask and pray in your holy and precious name. Amen. One of the other times I did this and came out of the pulpit, Andrew said afterwards, he said, "I'm looking and thinking, what is Dad doing?" Because I don't normally make any bones about it, I'm a pulpit hugger. And it was interesting in the early service this morning as Gene was reading the passage from Jonah, I thought, I think maybe I need to change my whole sermon. And so in order to do that so that I'm not attached to my manuscript, I did. Jonah is a wonderful story. We were even talking at during Sunday school, and I have somewhere a story, but Tom Lehner said that he believed, heard of three different occasions when someone actually got swallowed by a big fish. And I have somewhere in some of my papers a passage where the story says about it was a whaler in the 1800s was on board ship and it was tossing and turning, and indeed one of the men fell overboard and the ship assumed him lost at sea. A couple days later they harpooned a whale and they got it on board the ship and they slit its belly open and out flops this man, alive as can be. Bleached a little white from the stomach acids, and I loved one of the closing statements said, "And he was never quite right from that day on." Go figure. I don't think I'd be quite right either. But Jonah, when we were reading it a couple weeks ago in the Disciple Bible Study class, is probably the worst and the best prophet in the Old Testament. You know, God's word comes to him to go to Nineveh, and he doesn't want to go. Now, we read that and just say, for some reason, he doesn't want to go. But Nineveh was the capital of the enemy. Now, I don't want any names. I don't want you to raise your hand. But is there somebody you don't like? A group of people you don't particularly care for? What are you going to do if God tells you today to go to that person or go to that group of people and proclaim God's grace and forgiveness? Jonah says, "Ain't no way that's going to happen. So he tries to run from God, gets on a ship. You know, they're casting lots eventually because they figure something's up and the lots fall on Jonah. And he says, well, what's the deal, Jonah? He says, well, I worship the God that created everything. And they're a little nervous. And Jonah says, you know, if you throw me overboard, everything will be at peace. Well, now they're a little concerned because Jonah worships this God, this Yahweh, and they don't want innocent blood on their hands. And so they still try to work things out. And eventually they throw him overboard. And he's swallowed up by a... Oh, if you said whale, you missed the question. Big fish, it says. Well, after 3 days, I'm not sure about you, but if I spent 3 days in the belly of a big fish, I'd probably come to my senses. Now, at the early service, little Charlie, during the children's sermon, kept wanting to tell me a story about someone vomiting. It happened in your car, evidently, last week. Happened in our car 2 weeks ago by yours truly. Saturday night, that's why I wasn't here that following Sunday. But I said to Charlie, what did you want to tell me? And he said, vomit. I said, that's exactly what that big fish did to Jonah. And I can only hope that he hit water before he hit land, so he got rinsed off. The town of Nineveh was so big, the city, that it was a 3 days journey. The scriptures tell us that Jonah went at least a day and started preaching. And you know what? They listened. And they repented. And Jonah goes up then and sits on a hillside, ticked off. You see, God, I knew that's what you were going to do. You were going to send me to those people. I didn't want to go there. And you offered grace and forgiveness. They repented, and now they're yours, and I have to be friends with them. And I don't want to sit and worship with them. Huh. Now, usually when we go fishing, we catch fish. Jonah was just the flip side that the fish caught Jonah. Jesus says that the time is fulfilled and that God's kingdom is at hand. The fields are ready and the workers are few. And so Jesus begins calling individuals that will faithfully go share and proclaim God's grace and God's forgiveness. That call and that claim is upon us, even still today. And are we always faithful at going to those individuals that God calls and challenges us to go to every day? There's a famous picture. I have the name of the author, and you know that's part of what you forget when you don't have the manuscript in front of you. But it's that wonderful picture of Jesus standing at the door and knocking. I think it's Holden or Holloman or something, the author. But if you look closely, if you never have, take a look at that picture because you'll notice that there's no doorknob on the outside. You see, I'm convinced that Jesus stands at our doors, at our hearts, and knocks, but will not push and force himself in. When Jesus calls us and we are empowered to do mission and ministry, we still have a choice. Is that door going to be opened from the inside or not? You see, Jonah didn't want to go because he didn't like the mission and ministry that he was sent on. And I'm convinced we don't always like the mission and ministry that we are sent on either. And sometimes we go dragging our feet. And in spite of our humanness, wonderful things happen when God is involved. We're not always faithful at opening doors. We're not always faithful at being fishers of people. But Christ still calls us to come and to go. And to be what it is and who it is that Almighty God has created each and every one of us to go. May God's presence rest upon us as we seek faithfully to respond to that mission and ministry and that call that is laid upon our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you surround us with your presence all the time. Not only do you call us, but when you do, you also equip us with the words and the ministry of that which you call us to perform. In spite, O God, of who we are, we pray that we might be used this week to bring honor and glory to you and to your kingdom. For this, O God, we ask and pray in your holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn. It's found in The Faith We Sing, the little black hymnal number 2129. Gracious and loving God, your call and your claim is upon our lives. You've empowered us, you equip us, you send us forth into the world. May we go, O God, as your faithful servants to the world. For we go in the name of the one who was, who is, and who will forever be. Amen.